You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Despite recent years' initiatives to mitigate child poverty, it remains an important issue that negatively impacts children's development and health. Experts have proposed cost-effective solutions to improve children's neurological, physical, and mental health, emphasizing the importance of the first 2,000 days of a child's life to development. Intergenerational disadvantage and inequity is a key cause of continuing child poverty, with up to 30% of Aotearoa's New Zealand's children lacking the basic needs and adequate fulfillment. The Knowledge Hub for Maternal and Child Health at Koitū has released a report aimed at the government to implement these solutions through policy, which parents and guardians can read for their own benefit. I spoke with the leader of the Knowledge Hub for Maternal and Child Health at Koitū, Dr. Felicia Lowe, about the current state of child poverty and Koitū's report on evidence-based solutions. What is the current state of child poverty in New Zealand?
In New Zealand, there is a very high rate of child poverty. There are many measures that we use to track the rate of child poverty, one of which shows that nearly 30% of all children are experiencing disadvantage. And this has been the case over the last few decades. You know, the rate has not declined since the early 1990s.
What are your thoughts on New Zealand's handling of child poverty?
I think that we can do a lot better in handling child poverty. So a key factor in this would be to increase the amount of investment in the earlier stages of life. So we're talking about right from pregnancy onwards through to when the child starts school.
Could you talk a bit about the importance of the first 2,000 days for a child's healthy development?
The first 2,000 days of life, and that starts from basically from conception onwards, so until about school age, that is when, you know, any experiences that the baby or the child has can actually have very profound impacts on the rest of their life. So if they have good optimal experiences that help with their brain development, their physical development and so on, that can set them up well for life. But then conversely, if they have adverse experiences, whether it's from economic deprivation or other factors such as having impaired brain development, that can have a lot of downstream negative outcomes for, you know, when they're adolescents, when they're at midlife or even through to older age.
What solutions does your early investment report propose to reverse intergenerational disadvantage and inequity?
Intergenerational disadvantage is such an entrenched issue. We don't claim to, you know, have a silver bullet to fix it, but we do know that what is important to make a start is for there to be a whole-of-government approach. So this would involve a very integrated, cross-sectoral approach, and this would involve, for example, the health domain, social development, education, housing, and so on. And there are lots of initiatives for each of these domains that we've described in our paper.
Speaking of the government, what sort of policies do you want this new government to take in this area?
I think very generally, we would just like to see more economic investment into the earliest part of life. So like I said, the first 2,000 days, because that's when we know that we can have the most impact in, you know, improving the outcomes for babies and children for the rest of their life. And that can have intergenerational effects as well. So, you know, by improving the lives of babies and children now, we can also ensure that the benefits pass on to subsequent generations.
How does this report also assist individual parents, guardians, and caregivers?
So we do make some suggestions, such as, for example, we know that certain types of interactions with a baby or a child can be really helpful for stimulating brain development. So, for example, what we call serve and return interaction, where there is this, you know, back and forth, continual interactive play between a parent and a baby, is really good for strengthening a bond between the two, but also for the development of what we call executive functions in the baby. And these executive functions are really important to help the child have skills to be able to learn well, to have good relationships with other people, to control their emotions and impulses. And these are all very important skills for helping them to do well later in life, whether it's, you know, in school or in employment and socially as well.
What are some other practical benefits of the approach in your report?
It's really about improving the quality of life for all parents. And one of the things that we are trying to emphasize is a really important point is about mental health. So specifically maternal mental health during and after pregnancy, because that can have a huge impact on babies and their brain development as well. And so if we can address the issues surrounding mental distress during this early period of life, then can also have benefits further down the road.
Is there anything the public or general listeners can do to help contribute to this report or promote this report?
Yeah, we would love if they could, you know, bring this to their local MP or write into their ministers and say, this, we really, really need to put a greater focus on early investment in New Zealand. There is evidence, you know, in other countries for, you know, certain programs that are targeted at disadvantaged children, for example, and they have been rigorously evaluated and shown to work in terms of improving the outcomes for the children. And later on, when the children become adults, their own children benefit too. So this is something we can learn from other experiences and see if that's something we can bring into New Zealand, adapt it to the local context, you know, in a culturally appropriate way, and at least begin to make an impact on benefiting the lives of babies and children.
Is there a sort of one key takeaway that you would like the listeners to take away from this report?
I think this report is mainly targeted at policymakers because it involves some really systemic changes that are needed at the level of government and wider society. But I think that change can only happen if there is a support at, you know, the grassroots level, so from parents or the general public, to show that they understand that there is the real need for early investment and that we need to, you know, even though there's always concerns about spending money, that this is an investment that is most worthwhile.
That was the leader of the Knowledge Hub for Maternal and Child Health at Koitu, Dr. Felicia Lowe, speaking to me about the current state of child poverty and Koitu's report containing evidence-based solutions.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.